Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. It's Manuel. It's the Stretch Goose Podcast. Thank you all for jumping on. I'm going to dive into this because it's something I talked about on Monday about this whole deal with cost of living in China, the TikTok ban, the whole thing. It was going to be like a two-parter. So there's a lot in here. I'm going to get probably more about is probably going to read a lot directly off of these articles than I really normally would, I guess you could say. And I got to tell you, though, if there was ever, after going through all of this stuff, if there was ever reason not to trust China or not to live in China or to not be in awe of all the smoke and mirrors, after reading all this, I am more convinced now than I ever was. Now, I want to start off with talking about Red Note. Now, I know there's a lot of podcasters out there, a lot of shows out there that have kind of gotten into Red Note and have talked about how it's tied to the Communist Party and they have to have direct communication with the government and et cetera, but I'm not going to get into all that because I'm sure by now everybody's kind of aware of what suddenly came out of nowhere. And so this is going to be quite the thing. So, you know, buckle up. I may not land the plane or swing the home run as well as my brother does on his podcast, World Ablaze, where he gets all into the weeds of shit. But I'm going to do my best, kids. I'm going to do my best. So, let's get into this.
I really think America has made a huge mistake when banning this app, because now that we're all on Red Note, we're actually learning that a lot of the crap that they've been talking about China is absolutely not true. We're like, wait a second, you guys have universal healthcare? You don't have to pay for an ambulance when you get picked up to the hospital. You have amazing cars for very low prices. Huawei, the amazing phones they have, are also so much better than iPhones. And all of that is forbidden here. We cannot have any of that. Wait a second, you can walk at night outside and not be afraid? There's no mass unalivings in schools? What? What's that like? And I had someone comment on my Red Note being like, now that you're here, I hope you can see that we're not the beasts that, you know, your news made us seem to be. And I was like, we never thought you guys were. I feel like we always knew it was bullshit. And yeah, no country's perfect. There's a lot of issues everywhere in this world. But it's very interesting. We're learning much more, I think, than they wanted us to know. And I think that's not a very good idea for our government. Also, I'm shocked by how quickly people are picking up Mandarin. Like, I feel like you guys need to teach me. How do I do this as quickly as you? Because it's incredible. Like, Americans from Alabama are now speaking fluent Mandarin.
Okay, well, as you can see, I hate every time I say that. My gosh. As you've heard from this one video alone, that it's someone who's very young that is diving into this Red Note and is really enamored by the presentation, and I'll say that, presentation. You're talking about it's universal health care, don't have to pay for this, owning cars at low prices, blah, 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 blah. So that's the first one. And of course, you had some crazy ones. You have James Charles with 38 million followers on TikTok, losing his mind over the ban.
I gotta keep it real. I am crashing the fuck out right now. I don't know what to do. Oh my God. I've already opened and closed the app probably 6 times already just to keep getting the same stupid warning message. Oh my God. Like, this is so dystopian. First of all, I feel pathetic that I am freaking out like this over an application being unavailable on my phone, but also, like, this has been a massive part of our life for the last 6 years.
So you get the idea. He's fucking losing his lunch because his revenue stream is essentially going away. And let's keep this train going.
Isn't it crazy how all it took was a bunch of Americans finally being able to communicate with Chinese people who directly live under communism, the thing that America is so afraid of, will literally destabilize countries for heading that way. And yet here we are learning about how affordable their cost of living is, how 90% of people in China own the place that they live in, how they don't really have homeless people, they don't have a drug problem, like their groceries are affordable, they only have to work one job in order to pay their bills. They were confused about having to pay for an ambulance ride. They literally have universal healthcare. And as time has gone on, we have literally moved further and further away from communism. And that's because communism is far left. And the more time that has gone on, the more far right our country has gone. Literally further away on the spectrum from the things that would all free us from our everyday life struggles. And it's all because many years ago, our government decided that in order to get us to not want communism, they had to make it seem like it was this big, scary, crazy thing, and to basically shield us from it. And look, we're literally talking to people that live under that type of government, and they're happy. They're happy, and they cannot believe how Americans are letting America run. And they feel sorry for us.
We'll get into that too. We'll get into all of this right now. So essentially you just have a bunch of people talking about how great China is all of a sudden being on Red Note. They're all complaining about the whole TikTok thing and how their revenue streams are leaving, their livelihoods are going away. And I feel for some of those people, but a lot of these people complaining about the government in every one of these videos is getting it shot on a very high quality phone with a very nice car behind them or a very nice set of furniture that they're sitting on. I don't believe that a lot of these people are dying out there. They're just complaining and bitching about a system that has enriched them. That being said, let's get into this. Now, of course, a lot of them have talked about minimum wage. They've all talked about the wages. They've all talked about ownership of housing, the economy. Communism has made them all, you know, rich and famous and happy and all that. Well, for one, I don't believe everything that you listen to or see on the internet. On Red Note right now, there is roughly 3 million Americans on it since the TikTok fiasco or snafu. And out of the 347 million Americans that exist, that's 0.8651% of the country. So we haven't even, it hasn't even registered population-wise. Because a vast majority of Americans don't give two fucks about TikTok, nor do they give ever-loving shit about, you know, a lot of the social media that's out there. It doesn't move the fucking needle, is what I'm getting at. And of course, they're all talking about the financial structure and they're all talking about home ownership and all this stuff. But let me just say this. The average wage, and everybody reminds you, a lot of the lefties out there, Bernie Sanders is there as well, bitch about $7.25 federal minimum wage and how it's not enough to live with the GDP, the cost of living, all that. In China, the average across the entire nation is $3.60 an hour compared to the $24 an hour average in the United States. What is the minimum monthly income in China? It is $400 a month, breaking down to $2.51 an hour. So if the minimum wage is $3.60, the minimum monthly income that is being recorded is $400. So mathematically, we're right around less than $500 a month. So what is the average salary depending on city and industry? So when you add them all up and you divide it out, mainland China itself, it's roughly $50,000 per year. And that is considered the highest income earners. Of course, the average salary amongst the 38 Chinese cities outside of the mainland is $1,430 a month. which is, I guess you could say, middle class for out there for these guys. Now, of course, the technology sector is a little bit what everybody talks, you know, everybody talks about that also in a lot of videos I didn't play. We're talking about the futuristic lights and all the fucking advancements in the city and all that. Well, the average IT tech and software guy in China makes $30,000 a year. The private sector is a little bit higher, but it's kind of interesting when you notice that the wages in America is roughly 2 to 3 times higher than that. Manufacturing, where in America you could make $50,000 to $60,000 a year in manufacturing and construction, out there it's basically $1,400 a month, which is a little bit less than your average McDonald's salary in America. The healthcare sector, they pay approximately, and now we're talking about the most significant sector for a population in China that is aging, going downhill. Obviously, these are averages. We're not going to cover every single fucking inch of China. But the average for the healthcare sector and the education sector is unbelievably low. $1,116 per month. So if the minimum wage average is $3 and you're paying your teacher $1,000, you're just slightly above the minimum wage out there. And of course, the banking industry, which is 100% owned by the government out in China, one of the things we have here in America is you own your fucking bank. We don't get that in China. Out there, you get about $2,000 a month to work there, which is, again, somewhere in the what they consider middle class out there. So how safe is China? That is the only part that is true. But let's get back to the finances for a second. So if you're in America complaining about the cost of living and complaining about $7.25 an hour, or of course in over 35 states, you're making at least $16 to $24 an hour minimum. You're complaining about that wage while you're driving your Lexus and you're living in your 3-bedroom apartment and you're eating out six times a week and you're on the latest and greatest phone in America and you have internet faster than internet can get, right? You're doing all of these things and you're bitching. Get on a plane, fly your ass to China and make $1,400 a month, American dollars. I guarantee you, you're going to hate life. It doesn't matter how cheap the groceries are, which we'll get to. It doesn't matter how cheap the rent is, which we'll get. It just doesn't matter. Because you're never going to be happy lowering your lifestyle, which is what you're going to have to do in China. And of course, they have what is called a social credit system. If you take a hit in that area, your ass is more than likely not going to get a loan from the government for fucking anything. You won't get a handout of any kind, and your ass will probably be homeless like some Americans are today. Excuse me. So the purchasing power of the average Chinese it is roughly, out of a 0 to 100, it's about 80%, which is moderate. The safety index is pretty high. Healthcare index is also right up there. So there are some aspects where they do give you quality. But as is in Canada, as is in Denmark, as is any other universal healthcare freebie system, your tax rates are through the fucking roof. So when you open that paycheck, look at your $3.60 minimum wage average. You might as well take a dollar off the top because you're never going to see it. climate is ridiculous. It is the most polluted place on the planet. There are cities that are so polluted in mercury and things like that, they are considered dying cities. The government will not let you leave that city. You can't go anywhere because there's no cure for the poisoning, and you will die in that city. That is China. And the fact that a lot of you youngsters aren't being told that is very sad, that you're buying into the bullshit. Of course, traffic is moderate. Property price to income is very high. The real estate market out there is fucking ridiculous. It is 6, 7, 8 times higher than the average salary in China. Of course, the quality of life is moderate. Most areas you might live long, but you have to live up in the mountains as a poor man to do it, because that's where a lot of the cleaner air is. Now, crime and safety are good because of the way they treat the crime there. You do something wrong, they have a court system that will fucking crucify you. In America, you have, in the Constitution, the right to defend yourself, the right to fight the charges. You don't get that in China. You go straight to the shitter. If they feel you need to go there, they will send you there. And of course, crime has increased in the last 5 years in China. The mortgage percentages over income, as I said, in terms of just the property pricing, the mortgages are always the property to income ratio is extremely high. The mortgages as a percentage of income is 215% above income. The affordability index is less than 1%. Any Chinese resident on their own cannot buy a house. They cannot own a car. They don't have the fucking money. So, having said that, the GDP per capita out there is $18,000. That's a McDonald's salary out in America. It is a growth rate that has been stagnant at less than 2%. And their population is not growing. It is down 0.18%. Why? Because they are fucking insanely old. They cannot get reproduction. They cannot exist into the future. Because I feel it has to do with their pollution rates, and it is stunting their birth rates. Now, again, as I go through this, you can agree to disagree. Let me know in the comments what you think. And I would be absolutely glad to listen and read it and all that good stuff. So let's get into something I read on industryweek.com. I'm going to read this entire article for the most part, because I want you guys to understand the economics of what I just laid out statistically, so that you get a somewhat of a picture painted in your mind about how much of a dog shit place China is. And again, you agree to disagree, as they say, right? If you think I'm wrong, let me know. Most people would say, now let's get into this. Most people would say the answer is obvious: lower wages in China compared to the United States. However, that answer is only partially true. Why? Because labor is only one part of the total cost of the product. And in many cases, it is as low as 20% of the total cost. Let's compare two simple products that are primarily made in China: a stuffed animal and a frisbee. The stuffed animal is comprised of textile material for the cover, stuffing, two eyes, and a nose. The material must be cut into pieces, sewn together, and stuffed. The nose, eyes, and mouth are usually a pattern of thread that is sewn on the face piece before the toy animal is sewn together and stuffed. The cutting of the pieces may be done by hand or by machine, but the pieces are sewn together by a worker using a high-speed sewing machine. The stuffing is usually blown into the animal by a machine, but the insertion point is closed by hand. This type of product is considered to be high labor content, with labor being about 70% of its cost. Now, on the other hand, a Frisbee is a plastic resin. Beads or pellets of plastic in a process that is called plastic injection molding, in which the resin is heated in a molding machine to a vacuous state and is then injected into a mold, after which the mold part is automatically popped out of the machine in a matter of seconds. The mold can be designed to make several parts at once by the push of a button, and a fully automated machine can set to run continuously for 24 hours a day with very little monitoring by a worker. The highest expense in producing the Frisbee is the cost of making the mold, also called tooling. And that cost is amortized into the piece price of the parts, so that the higher the volume of production, the lower the cost. Tooling that is added to the cost part, a Frisbee is considered to be low product labor, 20%. What are the other factors of total cost for the China price? First, there are the actual costs of the materials used to manufacture the product, which would be the textile material, the stuffing of the animal, plastic resin, etc. Because of the high volume of materials and resins ordered by Chinese companies, the pricing would be as low as it could possibly be. Second, there are the wages for the workers directly involved in producing the parts. Labor is abundantly cheap in China because, even though 300,000 have risen into the middle class and above, this still leaves 1 billion people living in poverty. At any one time, there are an estimated 100 million workers who are unemployed or underemployed, which is about equal to the number of Americans with a full-time job. All employees in China have the right under law to join the ACETU. The ACFTU. My gosh. The ACFTU has a monopoly on trade unionization in China, and creation of competing unions is illegal in China. Party leaders have ensured that the ACFTU has a monopolist position. They don't want autonomous unions springing up because of the potential threat of their authority, a threat to their authority. In 2008, CBA became a requirement of the labor contract law that went into effect, forcing most companies, including most foreign-owned ones, to create an ACFTU chaptered union in there. However, there are about 1,000 protests and demonstrations occurring every week in China, even at the risk of beatings, demotions, dismissals, and torture. As a result, wages have finally risen about 15% per year over the past 4 years. It took suicides by workers in the summer of 2010 to achieve additional improvements to wages and working conditions at plants that were more like prison camps, with dormitories for workers to live on site and fences around the buildings to keep them on the premises. So let me stop right there. So the government, the Communist Party of China, has a union created and controlled by the government to set the wages of the employees. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate unions in general. But this sounds a little fishy to me. So if I am reading this correctly, that this particular organization sets the prices based on the kind of labor that is being produced on that item, and then they set the wages according to that production of that item. So the faster you produce, the more you make, is the theory, is what I'm getting out of this. But they don't exactly own up to those deals. It took people committing suicide just to raise it 15%, which I'm assuming is the minimum wage of $3.60 an hour. And not only that, the crazier thing right here is that they would fence in employees. They would trap them in the building until they finished their work. Now, all you youngsters out there that are on Red Note, TikTok, all your social media nonsense, talking about how awesome China is, do you want to work for a company in China that will lock the doors and guard the gates and keep you there until you're done and then still pay you $3.60 an hour and probably fudge your paycheck? And all of this is owned by the Communist Party government of China. Think about that shit before you guys open your mouths about America. America, you could go and get a job, work that job for however you want to work it, and quit whatever you want and walk out that door and nothing will happen to you at all. In China, you could get beaten, tortured, whipped, whatever, locked in if you decide to change your mind. Think about that, kids. Think about that. Let's continue. Third, there is also the cost of compliance to health and safety regulations and environmental regulations. These costs are less expensive in China than in the United States because the Chinese government imposes very few health and safety and environmental regulations. China doesn't provide workmen's compensation insurance for their workers, so workers hurt on the job don't receive any compensation while they are injured to the point where they are disabled. Although China has its own environmental protection agency, the agency laws are generally ignored and not enforced, especially at the local level. So keep this in mind, guys. You love China and what they're presenting on Red Note. Okay? The Chinese government doesn't even enforce its safety laws. The Chinese government has an environmental agency that doesn't even enforce those laws. If you get hurt at work, fuck you, you don't get a paycheck. In America, you get hurt at work, and you can literally get cared for while your case is being processed. And you can literally get a check on workman's compensation if your case is processed and approved. When you go to China, it's a big middle finger, sit in the corner, even if you lose a leg, we'll get to you. And is the healthcare paid for? Sure, but your tax rate is high because of it. That is a situation I don't want to be in. I don't understand how these fucking youngsters are going to sit here and be like, dude, this place is awesome. They're so ahead of America right now. And then you pull back the curtain and you find all this shit out and now you're stuck. Now, again, agree to disagree. Can't, you know, it's up to you guys. Chinese companies have the advantage of being able to dump just about any byproduct into the air or waterways. Six of the top 20 most polluted cities are in China, and China has been designated the world's most polluted nation by several studies. There is one city in China where the land, air, and water is polluted with mercury. That's what I said about living dead cities. Here you go. Mercury, so the residents are really the living dead because there is no cure for mercury poisoning, which is eventually a fatal thing. The World Health Organization estimates 750,000 people a year die in China due to pollution. think about that. Do you want to be 750,000? One of those 750,000? I fucking don't. Next, there's the cost of taxation. China is one of over 150 countries that utilize the value-added tax system. It is a tax only on the value added to a product, material, or service at every state of its manufacturing or distribution. The VAT, the value-added tax rate, is generally 17 to 13% for some goods. Chinese companies receive a VAT refund from the government for materials of products produced for export. American imports to China are charged a VAT, but the U.S. doesn't have a VAT on Chinese imports. So everybody talking about the Trump tariffs and bitching about it. China is charging the American product anywhere between 13 to 17% for incoming imports. That's a tariff. If you know that's basically a tariff, no matter how you slice it. I know it's not called a tariff, but that's a tariff. China also refunds Chinese businesses of those systems if they get it into American hands, which is fucking nuts. The Chinese national government policies allow their manufacturers to use trade cheats. For example, there are unbalanced tariffs, such as the 2.5% for a car entering America versus the 25% for a car coming into China. In addition, the Chinese government requires foreign firms to have a Chinese partner company who maintains the majority interest, takes most of the profits, and has a real control of the company. So not only is it that the U.S. charges less for imports from China, China is charging an insane amount of money, and yet China is over there beating their chest about tariffs and how they don't want to get into a trade war, when, according to this article, they are literally charging 13 to 17% of a value tax on products coming in, and then they're charging 25% in an actual tariff on also on products coming in. So anywhere, anything from America coming into China is well over 30%, and we're charging 2.5%? Do you understand the imbalance? Kids, youngsters, on your social media talking about how they're you're selling you the red note. If these numbers are 100% on board above, true, that China is charging over 30% in separate categories of basically tariffs on incoming goods from America, and they demand a controlling interest of any company into America coming in from America coming in, excuse me. And we're only charging 2.5%. I can understand why Donald Trump is going to pull that card. You got to be fucking kidding me. We're getting bent over and fucked in the ass with a lead pipe. And for some reason, all the kids are okay with it. Oh, it looks so awesome there. You can get an ambulance without having to pay for it? First off, all you fucking tards out there, you're paying for that ambulance. It is in a high tax bracket. That's how you're getting it done. And they also have China also is notorious for manipulating their currency and undervaluing their currency by as much as 40%, which simply makes every product that China ships out 40% cheaper than those coming in. Now, they are also, so they charge a boatload for what comes in, and then they fucking dilute everything going out so that they could get rid of sell massive volume. And we're over here, and you're over here talking. That's how this system only has a small percentage of rich people, and everybody else is getting bent over. China also has a national strategy of what is called dumping. Dumping is defined as the act of a manufacturer in one country exporting a product to another at a price that is either below the price it charges in its home market or is below its cost of production. The goal of dumping is to capture the market and destroy the competition. They're all, it's, that's pretty cut and dry right there. That is why the cost of living is the way it is, because China is also flooding the market with products just to gain market share. And then they turn around and drop the hammer financially. Of course. Now, China, okay. The goal of dumping is to capture the market or destroy the competition for a particular product or commodity so the price to the end user or consumer is lowered way below the competition, often below cost. Dumping is one of the strategies China uses as a neo-mercantilist country. Neo-mercantilism is a term used to describe a policy which encourages exports, discourages imports, controls capital movement, and centralizes currency decisions in the hands of a central government. Central government. They control all of it. You own nothing. So the object of these policies is to increase the level of foreign reserves held by the government, allowing more effective monetary and fiscal policy. While dumping is not prohibited by the WTO agreement, the GATT article allows countries to act against dumping where there is genuine material injury to the competing domestic industry. Countries are allowed to act in a way that would normally break the GATT principles of binding a tariff and not discriminating between trading partners. Typically, anti-dumping action means charging extra import duty on a particular product from the exporting country in order to bring its prices closer to normal levels or to remove the injury to domestic industry. The number of U.S. dumping cases against the Chinese is up, and more than 50 categories of goods from China are now subject to U.S. anti-dumping duties. Some of these product categories are steel fence posts, iron pipes, aluminum extrusions, tires, hand trucks, ironing tables, wooden bedroom furniture, and other paper products. Thus, the secret to China's cheaper price is a complex national strategy of China to becoming a preeminent superpower of the 21st century. So, I just read this entire article that paints a picture of how they operate economically. They charge you dirt wages. You have to sign on to a union controlled by the government. You are forced to stay there until you are done. You have to deal with price manipulation, currency manipulation, flooding the market with products to push your competitor off. And all of this equates to money in the bank, in the bank account of the government, and the government owns all the banks. I don't want to be in that system. That's what communism is. Government controls everything, pays for everything. You are dependent on them to make decisions for you, from your cancer screenings all the way down to how much your car costs, all the way down to how much land you can own, how much of a house you can buy, all of it. It is 100% controlled by the government. You don't have that in America. What you have in America is an opportunity to make money and keep your money, an opportunity to push into the future and improve your life. I don't want to live in a Mercury City and be part of the living dead in China. Do you guys want to be that? Just so you could stare at the fucking fluorescent lights? Do you want to be in a system where as soon as they fucking catch you for something, you are destined for jail And I don't even know what the prisons are like. Excuse me. I don't know what those prisons are like. Is that what you want to do? There are so many kids that are on these apps posting these videos about how great it is to be in China, how awesome it is to be in China, and how they're learning how free things. Do you guys understand that they are bullshitting you? If I could sit here in one weekend and look up all this information on an unbelievable amount of websites, from Forbes to Ellie.com to the World Economic Forum, all these websites, IndustryWeek.com was another one I looked at. And all of these articles, all this information is within the last 3 years. So why would you guys want to go there? And why do you guys think they're better? I mean, I could keep going. I mean, there's a whole thing from the World Economic Forum on the taxes and how they're, and it's all broken down, but I'm just going to give you the effective tax rates and why you get free healthcare. The income tax rate for high income earners in China is 60%. So I'm going to leave that there. There's a whole bunch here, but so keep that in mind. 60% of your income is gone. And when you're making $3.60 an hour in minimum wage out there, just know that half of it is gone towards your health care. It comes right out of your paycheck. What do you think happens when you work here and you're making, say, $17 an hour, $20 an hour? You're making $800 a week in gross income. What do you think happens? What are you paying for? Your health insurance comes out of your check for your business, for your job, or you pay it outright. Either way, it comes out of your check, and you're paying, 15-20% of it. In America, is going straight to that. It's the same concept. But you guys don't like is the fact that you're living way beyond your means and you're making stupid fucking choices. And that's why I have no sympathy for most of you idiots. And that, kids, is why in part one, I will never set foot in fucking China on any little, anywhere circumstance. Just wouldn't do it. See you tomorrow. I want to break your soul in two.